This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa salatu wa salam ala ashraf al-anbiya wa al-mursaleen, Nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran, amma ba'd. My brothers and sisters, as you can see, we are here now where the Battle of Uhud took place. It's one of the major incidents that took place in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to try and go through the battle from the beginning all the way till the end and exactly what took place inshallah ta'ala. When the battle, or before the battle, my brothers and my sisters, there was 1,000 of the Muslims that were heading towards this place that we are currently at. There was 1,000 of the Muslims. But what happened was, because amongst the ranks of the Muslims, there was that munafiq, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, okay, he caused a lot of doubt and he caused a lot of za'za', as they say in the Arabic language, and he was the reason as to why 2/3 of those who were with the Jaysh, the army of the Muslims at the time, had ended up leaving and going back. So you can imagine now, there's only 1/3 remaining out of the 1,000 that were there. As for the mushrikeen, they had 3,000 with them. They had 3,000 of those who were there ready to fight the Muslims. So also what happened at the beginning of the battle was, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded 50 of his companions to remain on top of this mountain. And he placed in charge a companion called Abdullah ibn Jubayr. And he said to them, حَتَّى لَوْ رَأُوا الْمُسْلِمِينَ تَتَخَطَّفُهُمُ الطَّيْرِ, do not come down. Even if you see big birds coming and snatching the Muslims from their heads off the ground, do not get off the mountain. Okay, no matter what happens, whether you see the Muslims winning, whether you see the Muslims losing, do not get off that mountain. Okay, so what happened was the battle started. There was an individual from the ranks of the mushriks who was called Suba' ibn Abd al-Uzza. There was a man called Suba' ibn Abd al-Uzza. When the Muslims were in their line and the mushriks, they were on their line as well, he came out and he wanted to have a personal duel, a combat with one of the Muslims. Meaning he comes out by himself, a battle takes place, and then that's when the war takes place or starts. Okay? So Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, also known as the Lion, he came out and he started fighting Suba' ibn Abd al-Uzza. And he ended up defeating him. And this is when the battle had started. The Muslims and the mushriks, they started fighting with one another. And the mushriks, they were being defeated. And they started running. The mushriks, they totally started running. And the Muslims, they saw khalas, they are about to win. Then those 50 who were on top of the mountain, guys, some of them started saying, Al-Ghanima, Al-Ghanima, war booty, the war booty. So they all wanted to make the decision to go down. Not all of them, but some of them. So Abdullah ibn Jubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he started saying to them, Anasitum, have you guys forgotten? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told you guys, don't get off the mountain. So some of them had already gotten off. When Khalid ibn Walid, who was a mushrik at the time, saw them coming off, he was very smart and intelligent. He ended up going round and he came back and he started hitting the Muslims from the back. And this is when the very sad incident took place of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His helmet was crushed, his face was gashed, and his tooth was broken. All because of one sin that took place, one commandment that they had opposed of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when that happened to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كَيْفَ يَفْلَحُ قَوْمٌ شَجُّوا وَجْهَ نَبِيِّهِمْ وَوِيَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. How can a people be successful and they have now injured the face of their Prophet while he's trying to invite them to Islam? And then this verse came down, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنُّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started addressing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, disciplining him, saying, this is not part of your affair. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive them, أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبُهُمْ, or He wants to punish them, it's entirely up to Him. It's not down to you. For you to make the decision whether these people are going to be successful or not, it's entirely down to Allah Azza wa Jal whether He's going to guide these people. Also, what happened was, my brothers and my sisters, as I mentioned already, Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib, he defeated a man called Suba' ibn Abd al-Uzza, right? This was the battle in which he passed away. He was killed in this battle and he is buried right here. That place right behind you guys, this grave here, this is where Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib is buried. Also a very well-known companion called Mus'ab ibn Umair. He is also buried in this grave right behind us here. Okay? What happened also was the adad, the number of Muslims that were or had passed away were 70 of the Muslims, okay, and 22 of the mushriks. When this took place, as you can see now, there's a number of them, there's many of them who passed away, and there were many pits and graves where you could bury the Muslims. So every time there was two people who were brought to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would ask the question, أيهم أكثر أخذا القرآن? Which of them two knows more of the Quran? فيقدمه في اللحد. He will end up giving him precedence, he will put him first into the grave. What does that show us, my brothers and my sisters? Shows us the fadl of the people of the Quran. How the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave them precedence, and there's many, many ahadith which talks about the virtue of the person who learns the Quran. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِآخَرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he raises people based on their attachment to the Quran with regards to implementation, with regards to memorization, with regards to how much he reads the Quran, and so on and so forth. So here you find the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave precedence to them. One point I'm going to conclude with inshallah ta'ala, and this is a very big lesson that we take from the Battle of Uhud. As I mentioned to you guys, 50 of those who were placed on top of this mountain behind me, one commandment, my brothers and sisters, that they opposed, which caused what? Humiliation and defeat. One commandment. And Allah tells us in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. When you failed and you started disputing with one another. That's exactly what took place. They started arguing. They started disputing with one another while they were on there. Some of them were like, don't get off. Some of them were like, stay on. Some of them said, don't get off. And some of them said, get off. Okay? And they opposed the Messenger of Allah, which led to defeat. A common question that people are tend to be asking in this day and age, when the Muslims today are so, so weak. Okay? Everybody is saying the Muslim Ummah is suffering. When is this suffering going to finish? What is the solution to the problems of the Muslim Ummah? Okay? And my brothers and sisters, this is the lesson that we take. If the Muslims were defeated because of one commandment, if today we look at our mujtama, our society, when it's so filled with so many sins, whether it might be shirk, whether it might be bid'ah, whether it might be sinful acts, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in 10 seconds told us the solution of the problems of the Muslim Ummah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ وَأَخَذْتُمْ بِأَذْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ صَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُ عَنْكُمْ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. The moment you start having interest-based dealings, riba, you start being involved in such act, and then the Messenger said, and you start chasing the tails of the cows, meaning you start chasing the dunya, وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ, you become satisfied with the land that you have, meaning you become people who are so busy with their dunya, they become satisfied with that. Their religion doesn't become a priority. And you also leave up al jihad. صَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلَّا. Allah Azza wa Jalla will send down upon you a humiliation. He won't remove this humiliation until you come back to your religion. And this is exactly, my brothers and sisters, what we are seeing today. If the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about the major sin of riba, which is what? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِي مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. He told us about riba, you're waging war with Allah Azza wa Jal. You've started a war with Allah. And this is a major sin. And not only is this major sin prevalent, that which is far worse, we are finding that it's very, very prevalent in our mujtama. And some of you know about this, and we discussed this in Hajj. Calling on to other than Allah Azza wa Jal, the shirk that has become so widespread, the innovation that also is so, so prevalent. And we hear this every week on the minbar. وَشَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. The worst of the affairs are the newly invented affairs that have been brought into the religion. So the point of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, if we want to help the people in Palestine, we want to help the people in Syria, we want to help the people in all these other places, It's upon us to start with ourselves. If we, ourselves, my brothers and sisters, we've got problems in our homes. Our homes have become cinemas. The salah is not being established. It's become like a grave in our homes. Our kids are so far away from the religion. How are we going to help the people who are suffering in other places? And even if you look at Zainab bin Jahsh, the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, أَنُّهُ لَكُ وَفِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ. Will we be destroyed? And amongst us are those who are righteous. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نعم. Yes. إِذَا كَثُرُ الْخَبَرُ. If evil becomes so widespread, when the adab, the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal comes, He's not going to exempt so-and-so. The adab is going to come and take everybody. But obviously the people who are righteous, يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى النِّيَّاتِهِمْ, as the Messenger of Allah Azzam told us. They will have, or they will be resurrected based upon their intentions and how good of Muslims they were. So like I said, my brothers, this is a very, very important lesson. If the people, they looked at this lesson of Battle of Uhud, it would be so simple. Wallahi, you look on social media, everybody's giving their own opinion. People are saying, wallahi, we need to be more into politics, we need to protest more. They've tried everything. And is the solution or the situation of the Muslims becoming better or worse? Everything's been tried. And here the Messenger, in the hadith that I told you, in 20 seconds it tells us what the problem is and how to solve the problem. So inshallah ta'ala, as you guys know, normally when you go to the grave, there's a dua that you read, hoping inshallah ta'ala it will be a benefit for the people in the grave. They can't benefit us, but we can benefit them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, and as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us as well. So the dua that we read is, As-salamu alaykum, ya ahl al-diyari min al-muslimin wal-mu'minin, as it came in some narrations. Wa inna insha'allahu bikum lalahiqun. As'alullahu lana walakum al-afiyah. Which basically means, you're giving your salams to those who have already passed away, who are in the graves, from the Muslims and the believers. And then you're saying, وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ لَلَاحِقُونَ. We will soon be joining you guys. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ لَنَا وَلَكُمْ الْعَافِيَةِ. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, and likewise you guys, for well-being. Okay, and this is something highly recommended for a person to do. And I told you, some of you guys, when we went to Masjid al-Nabawi the other day, أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَذِي مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. Be somebody who is excessive in remembering the destroyer of all pleasures, and that is what? Al-Mawt, death. Something that really, really, my brothers and sisters, softens up the heart, is going and visiting the graves. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us this in multiple hadith. You want to soften up your heart, you really want to remember death, okay? And you want to forget about all the worldly affairs, because it could be any moment. And I've said this time and time again, you're not going to get a WhatsApp message or a Facebook message telling you that death is coming to you. يَأْتِيكُمْ بَغْتَ. It will come to you unexpectedly. And it could be any of us. Wallahi, us praying the janazah after every single prayer should be a reminder to all of us. They're just hujjaj like you guys. Like us guys. Every salah we are praying, what a janazah. And any moment it could be any of us. You see, it could be any single one of us. So inshallah ta'ala, my brothers, you can check it out. We'll stay here for another 5 minutes and then we'll head back to the bus inshallah.